Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Robert Rutherford.
Guilty as charged.
You know, I didn't know I could feel any better than I did before you got up here to speak, but I'm telling you what, laughter's an amazing thing.
Yes.
It neutralizes a lot of things. And you are very, very gifted, my friend.
Yes.
If I would have ever had somebody tell me, I'd be sitting on the inland passageway with a group of people that I never didn't know at that time, and I'd be and a gay pastor would be preaching to me, I'd have never, ever believed it.
That's hilarious.
Especially about stripping naked off that arm. I mean,
and a naked gay pastor. He keeps asking me every time, can I preach naked? I said, it doesn't bother me any. So, last night was a hard lesson. It's hard to hear some of these truths. And what Robert was sharing this morning, he was saying that there's no such thing as absolute truth. And in the context of how he was sharing, he was right. However, there is absolute truth. And it's not subjective. And it's not objective. And that is, this is it. This is all there is right now. There's never been anything more. There's never been anything less than this. This is all there is, right in this moment. It is perfect. It needs nothing. It has no history. It has no future, ever. And the problem that we have with that, the problem we have with the absolute truth that nothing has ever been out of order, there's been no mistakes, ever, and there will be none to be made. The mind will never believe that, and the mind doesn't see it as absolute truth. But when you hear that, how can you argue with that? The mind can, but nothing has ever been out of order. Nothing ever will be out of order. That's a truth. When you embrace that, it brings peace to you. And I was telling Dean this morning, I whispered into his ear, I said, you know why I realized that the message last night was so true is because I felt guilty and afraid for sharing it. That's what proves to me it's true. Where does all that come from? Where's all that come from? We're going to talk about that today, because the title of the lesson is Beyond Identity. And today the title is There Is No Mind. Now, the mind's going to argue with that, okay? Because it wants to survive, okay? And so we're going to talk about that. Identity is directly connected to what the mind says about you. That's where identity comes from. It's what the mind says about you. And Bruce and I bantered back and forth years ago about the fact that who you think you are is your enemy. Anytime you get offended by anything, it can only come from how you process things. It can't come from another. It can't come from anything outside of you. It comes by the problem you've got with what you're seeing. And Jesus, one of his most beautiful words he ever had said, is he said, don't judge by appearances, but that's all the mind knows how to do. He says, judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. And the righteous judgment he's talking about is everything is holy. Everything is perfect. Nothing's ever out of order. Who owns Black Betty out in the parking lot? I figured it was you. I love that car.
She's perfect.
Well,
ramble am.
And
it's cute. It's adorable.
Living in Michigan, being the motor capital, it's hard to realize there's crazier car people than we have up there. Come to North Carolina, you know. These guys have got more NASCAR fans than anywhere. Sorry, we're on a rabbit trail. I go, there's Black Betty.
Black Betty was beautiful.
I know that car. I sang that song. So, there is no mind. So what is the mind then? It's only a belief. Thinking that you have a mind is only a belief. Now, you've got brain power. There's a lot of activity going on with the brain. But it's not a mind. It's just something that produces thoughts. But you're not your thoughts. You're not your history. That's a big relief. If I were, and I've said this many times, but it's so important. If I were to wipe out your memory, you'd disappear. There'd be no reference point. You'd have to go around asking somebody, who am I? Isn't that what happens even in the TV shows? Who am I? Tell me who I am. And where would they get any information? It would be just from the past. Wow. Right? Yeah. How could you be your memory? How could anybody be their memory? That's just not true. You can't be your memory. How do we live beyond the mind? How do we live beyond identity? And that's been the title for the whole weekend. And there are two issues here. And first, we're relying on the judgment of our mind to determine who we are. Secondly, we've been taught over the years by our peers and that flow back towards us from the world to pull our identity from. You're not any of those things. That's not what you are. Isn't that something? I mean, I don't think we'd have a lot of argument from anybody saying, I'm not my memory. But if it was completely gone, you'd have no reference point. All judgment would cease, wouldn't it? There'd be no reference to judge anything. So where does all of our judgment come from?
The history.
The memory. All of it. Isn't that crazy? I don't think anybody would argue with the fact that you're not your memory. But it's that simple. All of your history, all of this crazy computer that screwed onto this body, right, is processing all the time, processing. And I hate to say it, but most of it's bullshit. I know. I'm first-hand experience here to tell you. It's a lot of bullshit rolling around up in there. And I don't listen to it anymore like I used to. And I'm going to share with you some things that have really, really touched me. It's become alive in me, and so I'm sharing it to you like hot off the press and live, right? This is so beautiful, but the mind's going to fight this, okay? And I understand. That's what the mind likes to do. But the reason there's nothing wrong with you, and there can be nothing wrong with you, is because there is no you. What a relief to find out there's no you. You mean it's not my fault, Mike? No, it's not your fault. What about responsibility? This is why the law has been so strong and why we still have fear, is because of this history and the memory and the responsibility that comes from trying to manage all of this bullshit. Huh? That's where all the fear comes from. It's where all the negativity comes from. And even the positivity. You know, what about this? This is good. What about this? This is bad. Well, unconditional love doesn't know anything about it. It knows nothing about history. It knows nothing about future. And when you say, when you say this is it, it's now, you've blown by it already. Because it's every microsecond. This is all there is. It's not going to get any better, folks.
Or worse.
Now, that's right, it is what it is. It's just like a box of chocolates, as Bruce says, reminds us all the time. And it's not, there isn't things happening because there's something wrong with you or right with you. You know, Robert had a whole bunch of things happen on the way up here. Well, the first thing you're taught, and you still got to shake it off like a dog, is what did I do? Huh? Hello?
What did Robbie do is what I was thinking.
Well, whatever. Whatever. That's the way the mind thinks. And the... There is no God judging you, but there's something judging you. Who is it?
You.
It's you. It's you.
If there's no you, how is that happening?
From the mind.
Your own worst enemy.
From the mind.
But if you don't have a mind and there's no you, where is it coming from?
It's coming from a collective, and I'm going to answer that, but it's coming from a collective thought where things are screwed together and concepts are made. So concepts are formed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So this you that's judging you is the God of this world. And I told you last night it's not real, okay? It's not coming from some really, really, really old man with a beard down to the floor at a computer waiting for you to do something. And I think the simplest thing I can tell you is that it's all coming from the memory. I don't think anybody would disagree with that, because everybody knows that if your memory's wiped out, you don't know where the hell you're at, you don't know where you're going, right? I'm talking a complete wipeout. So, the mind is telling you that these concepts you have of yourself is reality. Well, you're not a concept. God isn't a concept, but we have a concept of a God formed in from these collective thoughts that produce images. So again, it is the mind that tells you the mind is there. Now, it can sound pretty paradoxical at times, but if you just let that set in a little bit, the mind doesn't want to give up. The mind that judges, the mind that criticizes, the mind that doesn't like this and doesn't like that, it's relentless in wanting to keep its foothold. And Einstein called it a very, very stubborn illusion. And he tied it directly to the fact that there is no time. And he said the distinction between the past, present, and future does not exist. But the mind can only process memory and history and project it out into the future. It blows right by the now and is projecting all the time. It just flies right over it. And in that place is where there's peace. In that place where there's no memory and there's no past and there's no future, that is the place of peace. That is reality. And it's all there is. And it's everything all the time. So, Maharaj put it this way. He said, don't be deceived. All the endless arguments about the mind are produced by the mind itself for its own protection, continuation, and expansion. It is the blank refusal. So here's the key. Here's what he says the key is. It is the blank refusal to consider the convolutions and convulsions of the mind that take you beyond it. The refusal to accept these things as reality. It doesn't mean the mind's going to stop working, folks. But it's not you. You don't have to take it personally. Right? Don't take it seriously. And I'm telling you from experience that I don't pay attention to it very much, and it starts on its own to calm down. When it runs out of fuel, what's been feeding it? Fear. What's been feeding it? Agreement. Perfect love doesn't have opinion about the past or the future. Unconditional love doesn't even know it. And that's who you are. So getting in touch with yourself, what Robert's been talking about, what we've been talking about, getting in touch with yourself is the center where there's no past and there's no future. That's reality. That doesn't need to be saved. That doesn't need to be liberated. That doesn't need to be made aware of or conscious of. That is who you are. And the mind's going to just fight this tooth and nail because it doesn't want to be exposed. Because the mind's telling you, I'm who you are. And if so, what Robert told us beautifully this morning, we put on what? The mask of the personality, the persona. And in Greek, it meant to play a part, to put on a robe and pretend to be someone you're not. And all of us have done that, right? It's not fun to find out you're an ass. Huh? And I don't take that personally either. I'm just saying these are the games that the mind plays with your soul. Learning to live without self-concern. Once you know with absolute certainty that nothing can trouble you but your own imagination, you'll begin to disregard your desires, fears, and concepts you have that produce this imaginary I and live by truth alone. I think I should read that again, don't you? Once you know with absolute certainty that nothing can trouble you but your own imagination, you begin to disregard your desires, fears, and concepts you have that produce this imaginary I, and live by truth alone. Listen, we've had this illusion that somehow getting in line with the Jewish race will bring a land of milk and honey, and you won't even get a zit on your ass anymore. This is just all fairy tales. Okay? Suffering's going to be happening, but it's not happening to anyone. It's just suffering. Okay? We don't have to make it a big deal out of it. Okay? It's just what happens. It's everything. We just think we're supposed to get this favor, and when we don't get the favor, just like Robert had told us this morning, I'm going to say your name 100 times probably. He was almost tempted to pray. And this one big one, huh? What was it, Robert?
A report a doctor gave me.
Doctor report.
I'm this close to pray.
Instead of accepting the report as reality, as what is for the moment, and paying no attention to it, it takes away the sting of it. It takes away the judgment. It isn't happening because of you or despite you or because of your history or because of your past or because you're black or white or gay or straight or any of those things. There isn't anything happening to you for any of those reasons. That's quite a relief.
It is a relief.
Yep.
It's a huge relief. And I'll tell you what, when, and I don't, there's no patterns. I don't want to say there's patterns. But every time we go to get ready for one of these meetings, I'm telling you, if I was to keep record, shit hits the fan.
That's funny.
I'm not kidding you. I got a report because our company's been in some trouble over the last 2 years, and we're in a forbearance agreement with our bank. Okay, now we're coming out of it. When the last cat was hung, Menard slipped a purchase order under our door for $50 million, and that helps. $50 million. I didn't say 50,000. That really helped, right? But in the forbearance agreement, it said Mike and Diane Nevins are only allowed to take this much money out of the company. And they really they didn't lock down anybody else, but they put a beat on us because they don't want owners to come in and start bilking the company of money when they're in this forbearance. Okay? And they know they're going to get paid. They're all happy. Everybody's happy about Menard, so everything's going pretty well. Well, there was a limit there. Well, we get some rental income from one of the properties, and in small print it said including rental income, and nobody caught that. And so we got word 2 weeks ago that, Mike, you've reached your limit. You can't draw another dime until October.
I got to sell my Beanie Babies.
So I never shared this with her until after we got it resolved because I didn't want her to go through it. But I mean, I got to admit, I was tempted to pray. I was sweating bullets a little bit, okay? Huh? And then I go, wait a minute. This always happens before a meeting.
That's hilarious. Distraction.
It always happens before a meeting. I should be used to this by now. There's nothing wrong with anything. And guess what? A week later, it was all resolved. So, but I'd been doing a hell of a lot of praying, I'm telling you, from there till now, till it got resolved, and I would have given God all the glory, I'm sure. He got nothing from me, okay? Not even a whisper. And he didn't get any glory. I was sort of glad for that. I just wanted to give it to him once, you know, but since he's not there, I can't. It's hard to tell you what you are.
You're looking all lit up and bright over there.
Okay.
Is that the one?
That's
the one.
Yeah, that's good. Okay.
Sorry. It's going to get worse as the minutes went by.
So bear with me on some of these things because it's hard to screw them all together. It's like Robert said, you know, this stuff, whatever's true and absolute in you will speak to you on its own. Okay? And I trust that. All right? You'll remember it, and it'll come up at the right time, and it'll cement in you, okay? But sometimes when you first hear them, they're hard. Reject the idea that you're nameable and describable.
That's tough.
But what does it do? It just judges you all the time. It locks you in, doesn't it? Huh? If you're this or that, or you, I'm this or that. I mean, we've won, I've won every award a small business could win in the state of Michigan. No kidding.
It's funny.
Every award you could possibly, and a few extra that I didn't know we could even win. It didn't affect the financial position of the company by $1. And I told him, I said, we got to quit going after these awards. We need some cash. When you got a business. And when you got a business as big as ours, what's nice about it is it's so big, there's no way to manage it. When you're talking those kind of dollar signs and stuff, I'm telling you, there's no way to manage that because you can't control it. Well, thank God I couldn't control it because I'm a sort of D personality. I love to control. And learning to give up control is a hard thing. Because that's where this God complex comes from. That's where the concept of God comes from. And if anybody's taught me that, it's been Bruce and Dean. The desire to control is God. That's His name. So guess what we're doing when we're wanting to control? Life, as we talked about last night, is always freely and openly spontaneous. And it's running itself, okay, without your help. Believe it or not, we don't want to trust that, though. It's hard to trust that, isn't it? Huh? But if everything is always in order all the time, there's never been any... I'll tell you what, man. Oh, I remember reading it once, realizing that I wasn't my history. And if I could ever... If there was ever a time I wanted to produce a tear, it's telling you this. What a relief to find out I wasn't my history.
Yeah.
What a huge weight came off of me. I sat in bed next to this dear woman reading Reformed theology. That's when I was delivered. Was studying Calvinism, realizing that I wasn't my history. And nothing was ever out of order. Ever. I can feel it right now. I still feel it. The effect of that right now in this room. What that means. That should make you want to grab a hold of it and never let go. Huh? Grab a hold of it by the horns and realize that that's not who you are. So, what I can do is I can give you pointers into what you are and who you are, but it's not describable. It's not nameable. Because as soon as we try to describe it or name it, we'd want to control it. I'm Michael Nevins. I've won every award that a person could win as a small business. And blah, 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 blah. I told him to shut it off. And it sort of happened naturally. We didn't really go after this stuff. But once we got one, then another one came, and another one came. Well, I've got the favor of the Lord.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, what happened when we didn't get any business then, the year after that? Whose fault was that? Well, that was yours, because you didn't pray hard enough. Yeah, it happened right after I started hanging out with Robert, so I could blame him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is
that energy?
I know you, Robert. Don't worry about it.
You don't exist. Don't worry about it.
Refuse to think of yourself in terms of this or that. Don't give your mind the privilege of controlling you. Okay? You're not nameable, you're not describable, you're not this and you're not that. There is no other way out of the misery and suffering. And all of your fear comes from history. All of it. There couldn't be anything to be afraid of if you didn't know what it was. How could you be afraid? And Jesus said the last thing that they overcame was the fear of death. Well, this thing that's describable, this personality, everything that's been attached to it for all these years, it wants to keep living. But Jesus said it was the walking death. Mm-hmm. Because with it comes all this fear. Mm-hmm. All suffering comes from the blind acceptance that you are a body and a mind that is nameable and describable. So now, after today, when these things come, they can just simply not be agreed with. That's all. And it loses its foothold. I'm telling you, it just slows down. It gives up. Once you disappear beyond identity, once you disappear, all that can be left is perfection in all its glory. Because there is no you that can mess it up. How could you? Now that's a good deal, isn't it? Huh? There's no one to blame. Because I've just wiped your memory out. You can't blame somebody. You can't blame the world because you forgot everything that happened on the news last night and all the other years before that. You forgot it. Huh? Crazy, huh? Pretty simple. The mind is seen as synonymous with the personality. And we don't know the difference. We didn't know there was a difference. The mind becomes wasted and wore out and exhausted because we take everything personally. I mean, I could give you a list, guys, of a lot of things that are going on. And you want to know what I'd be doing if I shared it with you, is I'd be reinforcing it. That's why I don't share very much. Only as example to you, okay? But the stuff that's happening is not who we are. It has nothing to do with identity. And I've got a long one. We could sit in a corner afterwards and compare it. And we just argue about whose is longer. Right? I know. I've been in discussions where I used to try this and I never won. Because the mind will... Don't ever argue with the mind because it always wins. It won't give up till it thinks it's won. So that's why argument is such a waste of time.
Would you say you would have... change it or lose it?
Well, what I'm saying is it's an illusion.
I know it's an illusion, but it's an illusion that has memory. So would you lose it? Or would you
Well, what I'm it? What I well, you can't change it, but you cannot agree with it.
Right. Well, to agree with it would mean that it exists.
I would say, do neither.
Yeah.
Don't pay any attention.
Well, I think I'll answer your question as we go on, okay? I think it'll be answered. In liberation, now, I use that term loosely, because in reality, nothing needs to be liberated, okay? But in liberation, just flow with me a little bit, because we're using words. It is seen that there is no mind. There is simply what? A flow of thoughts, feelings, and sensations that arise. Okay? Those things aren't going to stop. What I'm telling you is you aren't your flow of thoughts. That's what I'm saying. Before liberation, we created the impression that there is a mind from which they come. But in liberation, this is seen through. Now, I'm going to tell you what made all this click for me, okay? And all of us are in different places. I'm just going to share with you. And maybe this will click for you a week from now or a month from now. But this was the key for me, the next statement that I'm telling you. And it's going to sound uncomfortable. The mind's going to be uncomfortable with this, okay? Because I'm ratting him out. It is seen that there are thoughts, but there's no thinker. Just as there are actions, but there's no doer. Now, I can't explain that to you. All I can tell you is I know it's true.
Say it again.
It is seen that there are thoughts, but there's no thinker. Just as there are actions, but there's no doer. That's huge.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense to the processor, okay? The holy processor is coming up with all kinds of ideas to reject what I just told you, okay? It says, wait a minute, I'm not no damn puppet. Rah, 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 rah. No, I just told you you weren't anything. So how could you be a puppet? In order for you to find reality, Jesus said you had to lose your idea of life. This is it, folks, right here. We're nailing it right on the head here, okay? This is it. You're free from the responsibility now that all this brings. Okay, remember now, everybody's all happy when we say unconditional love is all there is. Everybody likes that word. Unconditional love is all there is. But unconditional really screws with your idea of the word love. Love's this and your love. And go ahead and strap all that stuff to you. You can do that, all right? But it's not true. Unconditional love is all there is. And it's unconditional. It means there are no conditions. That's the part we don't like. We like unconditional love. Unconditional love is all there is. And 2 years ago, I asked everybody to trade your love in for a God, or trade your God in for love. Whoops. Maybe that's why it didn't stick. Maybe I said it backwards. The word unconditional attached to love means you can't control it. That's what I'm saying. That's what we're talking about here. There's this energy out there, and I've been called an atheist, okay, many times. And what I'm saying is that there is an energy out there called unconditional love, and it's everything all the time. And it's an insult to me to call it a God. And I thought last night, I thought, well, what's a better way to explain that? And I got a beautiful revelation about it. And that's the movie Star Wars. It's probably closer to reality than any biblical story you could ever read. There's this huge evil empire with the Death Star that when the sun comes out at a certain time of the year, and maybe it's the summer solstice, I don't know, it gets enough energy so it can devour whole planets with one blast. Right? And out in the woods somewhere, there's these weird-looking little creatures that talk about the Force be with you. And here's this little ragtag fugitive fleet of little wild animals and a few humans on there that just, what? They just love each other. And that defeats the evil empire. It absorbs it all. So this force, this energy, it's not that I don't believe in something, it's just not a thing. It's not a being. It's everything all the time. Unconditional love is. And it's, to me, it swallows up any idea you could have about some God. There's really billions of gods, you know. There isn't one person that has the exact, everybody's definition of a God is like your thumbprint. There's no one that thinks of God the same way. How could that be true? People, even when they get together in a church organization, they think they've got continuity, but they'll split over whether they get purple or blue carpet. If they can't even get along with something like that, how could they agree on what God is? And to me, it's just a very, very low level of understanding to call unconditional love a God. And that's why I don't appreciate that. Right? I'm not judging anybody for it. I'm just telling you, you got a problem there. Because God means to control. And what I'm telling you is it's out of control. It's free and unbounded. It has no plan or direction to it. It's just free. It's free-flowing. It's spontaneous. I wanted to say spontaneity, but that's the wrong word.
Hmm.
Isn't it fun to just do something spontaneously?
It's my favorite.
Without a plan? Mm-hmm. Isn't that just wonderful? Well, why? There's no borders. There's no boundaries. There's no rules. Wow. But our butt cheeks are so tight. And there's so much of this, the energy that we are, this unconditional love is just constricted. And it's just afraid. And it just doesn't know what to do. And it's got to consult 100 people. And it just, it just isn't free at all. It's just bound up. What is this constriction? It's just a feeling of separation. Dana Consenza wrote on her wall on Facebook, she said, it's impossible to be one with something when there's only one.
That's crazy.
It's impossible to be one with something when there's only one. And that's what we're talking about. All there is unconditional love, and it's all free-flowing all the time. And it's everything. It's this. It's not a person. No one owns it. No one's sitting and writing out a plan for millions and billions of people's lives. It's just all, it's so far above logic and intelligence. That's what I'm trying to say. That's why I've said the only God there's ever been has just been a concept. It's never been real. So when we begin to see through the separation, it's not that you cannot do anything, but rather there's no one who does anything. I'm just saying what I just said in a different way, okay? It felt a little better the first time, and this time it doesn't feel so good, does it? When we begin to see through all the separation, it's not that you cannot do anything, but rather there is no one who does anything, including a God. Unconditional love is always speaking. It's always behaving in everything all the time. And it cannot be controlled by anything. There isn't anything making decisions to say you need to go left or right. You just do it. It just happens. And how many people can go back and, this really terrible thing happened to me, and I guess I can sort of see God's hand in it now, I suppose. Maybe it was really meant to be, you know. Oh, my gosh. But if you could bring that all into the moment and realize that nothing's ever out of order and it's not anybody's fault, there's nobody to blame, just think of the relief and the frustration that can fall away, and you could start to relax, huh? And just enjoy the moment. There isn't anything you have to do. Throw the clock out of the window. There's nothing that has to be done. But you'll do things. If you've got a mortgage and you want to keep your house, you'll still go to work. But now it'll be done without the desire to control. And just this experience I shared with you about what was going on with forbearance and stuff with the business and everything, it all worked out fine, but in between A and B, it was hell. It was still hell for me now. I'm not being honest with you. It was still hell. There was a little bit of kicking and screaming.
A little grumpy.
Huh? Where does life come from? Yeah.
I couldn't resist. It always was, it always is.
That's right. That's right.
It'll come from anywhere, it always was.
So you cannot do anything about your life because you don't have a life. And we've said that a lot in jest, but there's more truth to it than we've realized. Like, get a life, right? Go get a life.
Life can't die. It's life.
So what are you? Without the mind telling you what you are, there wouldn't be a name to it. I'm not Michael Olin Nevins. My dad gave me that name. And there's all kinds of stuff screwed onto that puppy, okay? And when all of my history just flashed before me as though it was nothing, just that alone was such a huge relief. But where does fear from the future come from? Right? Huh? The past. Yep. So it's probably not all quite gone. When I was afraid a little bit for a while there was, because there's been experiences like that before when I've had seven different businesses. What does that tell you? They didn't all make it. Our history is what produces the impression that there's a you with a life that perishes. That's where fear comes from. This idea of 3 score and 10 as being my life is where fear comes from. When I'm telling you that you're eternal, but your identity isn't eternal. The source of you, this unconditional love that's everything all the time in everyone, will never end. And whether you're here or not, physically or not, won't change it at all. That's why I love that movie, Lucy. So it was so beautiful with that movie. When at the end, when she disappeared, she showed up as a message on his phone and said, I'm everywhere. Mm-hmm. And last time we were together, I read you a a memorial of my 93-year-old uncle. And not a person sitting in that service believed one word of it. I knew that for a fact. And it was just sending me into outer space. Cool. I'm the star that shines. I'm the wind on the grain. I'm the glistening snow. It just went on and on and on. So everything that appears to be difficult, now listen, everything that appears to be difficult and problematic, don't forget this now, okay? I'm going to say it again so you'll hear me. Everything that appears to be difficult or problematic can only survive because of a memory. You're not your memory, guys. How could you be? Now, even logically, I'm not sure a lot of people would agree that I'm not my memory. The heck no. But there's something hidden there that somehow we aren't letting go of, isn't there? Because when something happens, oh my gosh, the sky's falling. All hell's breaking loose. So in liberation, in describing unconditional love as being everything all the time, in liberation, everything is seen as being full, as being complete, as being whole, as in needing nothing, absolutely nothing. There's nothing that needs to happen for anything to survive. You're not a person that's going to live 75 years and then you're gone. You know, we'll sing hee-haw here pretty quick, okay? That's not who you are. What more could there be to get when that realization comes over you? That everything is full, everything is complete, everything's whole and needing nothing in every moment, every microsecond. It's full to the brim. So there's nothing more to get. There's nowhere to go. You can't escape. Omnipresent, unconditional love. You could try. You can flail around like a fish on the beach, but it can't be escaped. Omnipresent, unconditional love is all there is. It's all there ever has been. And it's complete and full. And it's this, right here, right now. It never is not this. It's timeless, it's spaceless. It's never going somewhere. So you can't piss it off, right? Like your God. You could piss your God off, but you can't piss off omnipresent unconditional love. Bruce will be posting about that tomorrow. I can see it now. He's snickering back here. I'm giving him material. So what does it mean? This might answer your question a little bit, Miss Doris. What would it mean if there's no you? What would that mean? And I wrote down some bulleted thoughts about that. Some of the benefits of it. How could you put yourself down if there's no you? How could you compare yourself to anyone else when there's no you? Wouldn't that be easy to see inclusion then? Wouldn't that be easy to see my neighbor as thyself if there's no you in the way? Right? Who would there be left to be judgmental if there's no you? How could all in all ever need to be addressed or considered? Does it need our commentary?
Is that so?
That's true. Theory wants to know the answer to that, wouldn't it?
Is that so?
Is that so? Is that so?
So here's the, I guess I'm projecting my voice pretty well, aren't I?
There's only one of us, so why would
you? We're getting it.
So here's an absolute truth to give you. The ultimate answer to everything is there's no answer needed.
Exactly.
You don't have to answer it.
You don't need to know.
How could reality ever be searched for when it is all there is all the time? The end of the search ends right there, doesn't it? If all there is everything, and it's now, what more do you need? Now, we struggle with this in America, folks, because we're a demanding nation. Very demanding people. But let's say I wiped out your memory and I put you on a beach somewhere and there was nothing there, okay? You didn't even know, anybody ever read the books of Adam and Eve just for kicks? Anybody ever read that? Isn't that entertaining? It talked about... Yeah, some of it was weird. They're talking about having their first bowel movements and all kinds of stuff, you know, in there. It was pretty strange. No. But back to the point, you're on this island, right? Your memory's been wiped out. You never met another person. You never had to say anything or talk to anybody about anything. That would be bliss, wouldn't it? How could you be afraid? Because you didn't even know you could starve to death.
Well, why do we need anybody?
There is nobody.
That's right. But if there is nobody and we don't need anybody, what is the purpose of it?
Will you answer that?
I would like to. I'd like to know that.
And I'm saying omnipresent love doesn't have a purpose. It is everything in this moment. So that doesn't need a purpose or a plan.
Love is its own purpose.
Well, if there is no body except you, what would you need to know?
Well, you're talking about on the island.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you wouldn't.
Yeah. What? How would you validate yourself?
You wouldn't need to.
That's exactly right.
So self don't need to validate itself.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Until you have ego?
Well, we can call it that. The ego is a phantom man, but it's the persona, right? So I want to end with reading what's on my Facebook or my website wall that I wrote a couple years ago. And every time I read it, I think, wow, this is really good. Who wrote this? You know?
I'd like to meet him, huh?
I just go, man. Well, it's like Robert was saying, you know, the way you process things changes. And it means something a lot more beautiful and different than it did when I wrote it.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, how could I have even written it then? Well, because I didn't write it. And I knew it. I knew that. The most wonderful thing you can realize is that what you really are is beyond thought. So any thought you could have about what you might be or become is all an illusion. What you really are is the divine self that is all in all right now. As that vibrates throughout your being, you will realize that there can be no God in the equation. Duality is the only enemy that traps you in passing time. The God that we have always had in our mind has never been real. It is the God of this world and the father of lies. So now, all of you that are listening, just to let you know, we're going to be back here with you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And I'm going to share a little bit with you. Then Robert's going to close. And the title of that's Beyond Identity, There Is No Self. So we're going to expand more on that, why that's important to understand that. So thank you, everybody.